The week, you start off the week in the presence of God, and we're having a great time. What I've been doing in this series of messages, we've been getting in a DeLorean. Anybody remember the movie? Back to the Future. All right. We've been getting out of DeLorean, and we've been kind of going back in history, kind of taking a look at kind of seeing who Jesus was and walking with Jesus and kind of seeing some of the places Jesus went. And I want to do that again this morning. But before we go on our trip, I need to warn you. Now, you need to really pay attention here, because if you don't pay attention, you might not be coming back with us, all right? So you need to make sure you understand, because we're going to go see Jesus, and Jesus is at the temple. He's in Jerusalem, and he's in the temple, and we're going to go into the temple. Now, when you go into the temple, you need to understand, I got a picture of the temple here. If you look at that picture, we're going to enter through the Golden Gate there. You can kind of see, it's not the bridge I'm talking about, all right? You know, they had the Golden Gate Bridge there, but there's a gate they call the Golden Gate. And we're going to go into that gate, and we're going to walk into the temple. But when you go into the temple, you need to understand there's some places you can go and some places you cannot go. Now, as I look out here, I don't know if anybody here is Jewish. I'm not sure if any of us are Jewish or not, because they have a little more privilege when you are a Jew. I got another picture of it, so make sure you get a good picture of where you can go. If you look at that picture there, see that little area that says Temple Courtyard? We're going to go there. That's where Jesus is. We're going to travel up to there. We're going to go into Jerusalem, go into the temple. We're going to go into that temple courtyard. We can go there. Gentiles can go there. All right, so we're going to enter that courtyard. Do not go anywhere else, all right? If you're with me and we're hanging in there, don't go anywhere else. As the little word says, women's courtyard, that's where the fathers of women go. Jewish women could go in there, all right? And then the men could go a little further, you can kind of see, and then the high priest, and they had special rules. And just, I always thought it was funny, when we went to school, we always talked about it. Within there's a little area that was 15 by 15. It was called the Holy of Holies. And in that Holy of Holies, that's where they had the Ark, you know, the thing that Indiana Jones was searching for? They had the Ark in there with the Ten Commandments and some shaw bread and different things in there. And the only one that could go in there was the high priest. And they were always afraid that the high priest would go in there and die. So they would tie a rope around his waist just in case he died, so they could drag him out and nobody would have to go in and get him. They took this seriously. They took it so seriously that they found a stone that went on that courtyard right there before you go into that women's courtyard area. They found a stone. It's about 22 inches by 33 inches. The word's about an inch and a half high. And here's what the word said. I got a picture of the stone that they found. They found this in the 1800s, and here's what the words say. If you push it one more time, you can see what it says. No foreigners is to go beyond the balustrade and the palace of the temple zone. Whoever caught doing so will have himself to blame for his death, which will follow. All right? They took this seriously. So we're going to go to the temple, and we're going to go hear Jesus. I want us to meet Jesus at the temple again. But I want to make sure, do not go beyond the courtyard. Everybody got that? So let's get in our DeLorean. We fly back, you know, push that flex cup. What is that thing called? The flux capacitor. Thank you. We're going to set that to about 30 AD. We're going to go back there. We land. We come out. We walk through that golden gate. As we walk in through that golden gate, again, not the bridge, the gate. We walk into the golden gate. We kind of glance over to our right over there, and there's Jesus. Kind of on the steps on the side of the temple area in that courtyard for the Gentiles. And we hear him teaching. He's teaching out of the Old Testament. And so we kind of squeeze our way around. We just kind of lean back against the wall. And we're just kind of there listening and watching. And as we're standing there watching, we hear all this noise coming from that golden gate again. And so we kind of glance over towards that gate, and in walks a bunch of guys. And they're dragging some woman. She's trying to walk, but they're just dragging her along. She's just got kind of like a bed sheet wrapped around her. And they drag this woman, and all this commotion is going on, and they're dragging this woman, and she's trying to walk. And they push their way through the crowd, and they shove their way up into the presence of Jesus. And he's sitting there teaching. And as they crowd through the crowd, shoving and pushing, they toss the woman down before Jesus. And they look at Jesus, and they say, "Hey, we caught this woman in bed with a guy that's not her husband. Now, according to the law, we're to stone her. What do you say?" Now, as we're watching this go on, we recognize some of these guys. These are the guys that we've seen earlier, you know. They're called the Pharisees. They've been trying to trick Jesus, trying to trap Jesus, and they're at it again. You know, Jesus has these followers. He's teaching God's word, and they're having trouble with this. Jesus is getting a bigger following than they have. And he's not following their traditions and their laws, and he's not living up to all that. And so they're trying to trick him. And so we're kind of standing back watching this, kind of leaning against the wall. And these guys, they keep saying, "What do you say? What do you say?" And they keep pushing Jesus for an answer. And all we see is, we can't quite see him, but we see Jesus kind of bend down. And he kind of disappears over the crowd. We can't quite see him. We kind of ask those around us what's going on, and they go, "We don't know, but he's writing something in the ground," and nobody can kind of read it. And as he's writing, these crowds, these Pharisees start yelling again, "What do you say? What do you say? It says killer. What do you say?" And they keep asking him for an answer. As he's writing in the ground, the woman struggles to her feet, tightens that sheet around her. And they keep yelling, "What do you say?" And we're watching it. And then Jesus stands up and just kind of looks around at everybody. Then he turns and looks at these guys. And he goes, "You who have not sinned, cast the first stone." And Jesus again bends down and begins to write in the ground. And we're standing back and we're watching this transaction and we're watching this event. And as we're watching, all of a sudden, some of those guys that were yelling, "What do you say? What do you say?" begin to leave. And it seems like the older ones are leaving first. And then some of the younger ones start to follow. And as we're watching this, pretty soon, all of that group that brought that woman and tossed her at the feet of Jesus, they're gone. They've left. And then Jesus, we kind of watch, and we couldn't never see what he was writing. He's back writing in the ground, and we just really couldn't see what's going on. And some of the people that we're talking to that are around us kind of say, "Hey, he was kind of writing sins in the ground." You know, just kind of listing things in the ground. And he stands up, and the woman is standing there, and he looks at her and goes, "Where's all those who've accused you?" And she goes, "They're gone." He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And we look at the story and we watch this as she walks off and the tears flowing from her face as she leaves the temple. And we watch this experience. And it's kind of like, okay, it's time for us to go too. So we're going to trot back off, walk out the Golden Gate. We're going to get in our car and fly back to today. And what I want to talk about today is that experience of that woman and who we are as a church and who we are as believers. And do we face some of these same kind of battles? I've wrestled with how much I should share because I've been the pastor here for 30 years. I don't have any previous church experience besides this pastor. I was somewhere else for a year and a half and that was it. But I've been challenged many times with situations like this lady. Just so you know, I've been challenged as pastor. A young girl gets pregnant in our church. And I'm told by individual that I need to throw her out of the church. I need to set an example for the other teenagers in the church. I was told that by somebody in the church. I was told that a teenage girl, another situation, and it's not all girls, it's just the ones that are in my mind. She's pregnant. She ends up on the Davis High School newspaper. And talking about her, she got married to the young man, and they're trying to put their lives together. And it just kind of recounted what's going on. She's graduating. She's finished school. Her husband's graduating high school. She's graduating high school. They are putting their lives together. Yes, they kind of got the cart before the horse, we'd say. Wouldn't we say something like that? You know, and this article appears in the Davis High School paper. And I get calls about that article. That's not really a good example. From Christians And it makes me think. I remember when I asked Mary Bruner, some of you remember, anybody remember Mary Bruner? I remember when I asked Mary Bruner to come and help us in our church and join us as we tried to reach Salida, make a difference in Salida. One of the first things Mary told me was, you know what? I've been divorced. Because she came out of a church that when she got her divorce, they told her teenagers that they couldn't go on youth events anymore. How do we as a church, how do we as Christians, with all these rules, react? And what I want to drive at this morning, and I want to make sure you understand something. God gave us rules. He gave us the word, and there's commandments in here. But he gave them not as judgment tools, but as ways to protect us, as ways to guide us with wisdom and knowledge. How many of us have raised our children and we tried to tell them, don't do that. You shouldn't go that way. You might not want to do that way. And it's really not anything bad. It's just not wise. Anybody? You know? And you try to tell them because you want to what? Protect them. And that's kind of how God does. Because the reality is this. We're all sinners. I like this passage. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You need to get your outline if you don't have it out yet. You should get it out. Because we're all sinners. Some of us have more public sin. Some of us have a little more private sin. Yeah. But we're all sinners. How do we react? When I was looking at these messages, and Dan and I was talking, and Dan was going to preach, I told Dan I wanted to preach this one. You know, I said, Dan, you could pick one that you want to preach, but I'm going to preach this one. Because it has such a passion for me. Because I battle this. How do we balance? And we've talked about this. Can you balance truth and grace? And what did we say? You can't. How do we wrestle with this? And so I want to look at the rules. I want us to kind of think about what God is saying here and what God wants us to be and to do. And here's where I want to go with this. I'm going to tell you where I want to go, and we're going to try to get there some way today. All right? Here's what I want us to know. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship. Okay? It's not about rules. It's about a relationship. And that's what I want to challenge us with. We need to replace the rules with a relationship. And so I'm going to begin with, if you look at your outline, I put it this way. Rules can be cumbersome. Rules can be a problem. Would anybody agree with me? If you don't, how many of you ever pick your phone up when you're driving and it rings and you talk on the phone? Anybody? I'm going to call the cops. But I'm going to tell you something. You didn't raise your hand, but you're lying. So there's another sin, all right? So now you got two. Yeah. I'm walking across the street yesterday between our church and the church for Martha's party, and there's a guy talking on the phone as he's driving to the stop sign. Yeah. You know what I found real interesting? I was thinking about, I never thought about this till when I was working on this message. God created, right? Anybody? Anybody on board with me now, right? God created the heavens and the earth. God formed everything. Finally gets down after 6 days. He makes man on the sixth, right? Puts man and woman in the garden, Adam and Eve in the garden. Gives them how many commands? One. They get one. Only one. Did they do it? They couldn't even keep one. You know, I never really thought about it until I was working on it. They couldn't even keep one command. So now we got 10. When Moses brings down 10 simple commands. Here's just 10 simple truths. You know. Wasn't good enough for the Jewish leaders. They had to make it 613. Yeah. But then we create all these rules. It becomes cumbersome. I did something for fun. I got on the internet and searched for dumb laws. I want you to, here's some nice laws that are still on the books in some places. In Southern California, in Los Angeles, it is not legal to bathe two babies at the same time in the same bathtub. So if you're in L.A., don't put your two kids in the bathtub together. In Riverside, where I went to college, kissing on the lips, unless both parties wipe their lips with carbonized rose water, is against local health ordinances. Sound good? I really like this one. Let's see, where was it at? Illinois. A state law requires that a man's female companion shall call him master while out on a date. They have another little clip there that said this: the law does not apply to married couples. Thanks! I want to throw that part out. I thought, and again, in Illinois, in Zion, it's illegal for someone to give cats, dogs, or other domesticated animals a lighted cigar. Let's see. Oh, Maryland. In Baltimore, it is illegal to take a lion to the movies. Kentucky. They changed this one in 1975, but I thought it was still good. A female should not appear in a bathing suit on any highway within the state. They changed that in 1975. I thought this is in Green, New York. During a concert, it is illegal to eat peanuts and walk backwards on the sidewalks. You know, what we do is we make rules and we make laws, and then we got to make more laws to make that rule work. Am I right? Yeah. Isn't that the way it usually goes? You know, you cannot talk on your cell phone while you drive. Now the law is you cannot talk or you cannot text on the cell phone while you drive. Now the law goes, now you cannot talk, now you cannot text, now you cannot use your map guide while you drive on your cell phone. They keep changing. I mean, you know, we make laws that way. Laws become cumbersome. They become, you know, how do we figure all these laws out? How do all these laws work? And then we complicate it with who's going to enforce them? You know, who gets to enforce them? You know, I'm flying down the freeway. Slow. I'll pass a sheriff car. He ain't going to pull me over. He doesn't enforce the highway laws. It's the highway patrol you got to worry about, all right? Yeah. Then we battle who's going to see it. The Pharisees had it all worked out. We're the enforcers. Yeah. We're the ones that have the authority. We're the ones that have the power to enforce these rules. See, it's tragic when we start creating rules. I remember we'd talk as teenagers when I got involved in the church in the 70s. You know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't hang with those who do. You know? And we create these rules. And what I want us to think about is this. Is that why God gave the rules? Is that what it's all about? I like this passage here because look at what it says. This is Joshua. This is after Moses had died. He's trying to encourage the people. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. I like that passage because here, I want you to hear what he's saying. He's saying, listen, Moses gave us the rules. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I love what Moses. Here's Joshua. Moses gave us these rules. Now, listen. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be courageous. And you're going to have to be careful in order to fulfill those rules. That's what he's saying. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. It's going to be hard to live by the rules. Is it hard to live by rules? I had a rule in my house. You live by my rules or you don't live in my house. Anybody? Yeah. That was the rules. Yeah. You come to my house, guess what? You go to church on Sunday. No questions asked. That was just the rule. Yeah. But is that how we measure life? See, the tragic thing happens, especially in a church, in Christians. We begin to replace the relationship with rules. We begin to measure Christianity by how well we keep the rules, by how well I do the right thing, say the right thing, go the right direction. And we begin to judge Christianity by all the rules. And I want to challenge us to think about a relationship. That I want us to come back and say, yes, we need rules. But it's about a relationship. Because if we exalt the rules and we push the rules out there, the world, and I think this is what the world sees, the world says, oh, you guys think you're perfect. Am I right? You guys think you're perfect. You got all these rules and you're in church because you think you're perfect. But once they know me, they know it's not true, all right? Because I can't measure up. I can't. I don't care how hard I try, I can't. You know, strong and courageous and careful. I circled those words because it's hard. But God wants a relationship. God wants that relationship. Now, again, I want to make sure the rules are good, but the rules will not make you perfect. This is what I want to do this morning. I want to say, why do we have all the rules then? Yeah. Why does God give us all these rules? Why does the Bible have just simply 10? Yeah. And then we add all these other kind of things to it. You know, how you dress, how you talk. We add all these other. And so if you look at the line, I just want to talk about why do we have all these rules? I'm going to give you three reasons of why we have these rules. Just three simple reasons. It's found in one verse right here. And I want you to see this verse because I think it boils it down real simple and really plain. Look at this verse here. Now the law came, the rules, came to increase the trespasses. All right, did you get that? You might underline that. The law came to increase the trespasses. But where sin increased, grace abound. You might underline that part. So the law came, so sin increased, the rules increased, more rules on top of rules, and then made us all sinners, but then grace abound all the more so that sin reigned in death. Grace also might reign through righteousness, leading us to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You might underline that part, eternal life through Christ Jesus. I see three things here of the purpose of the law. Three things that God set out when he gave us the laws and we set up our rules for the purpose of these laws and these rules and what they're for. And so if you're looking at that outline, I put it this way, rules increase sin. You know, the more laws they pass, guess what? The more sinner we become. Yeah. For a while, I wasn't a sinner talking on my phone while I was driving, was I? It wasn't against the law. I could talk on the phone all I wanted. But when they passed the law, guess what? That gave me another thing to sin. Now, just so you know, when I'm driving and my phone goes off, Laura answers the phone. Some of you have called me and you've talked to Laura, not me. Because I don't do it. Well, let me, I guess confession's best. Most of the time, I don't do it. If I'm going to be honest, all right? I try not to do it. How does that go? But see, what it's saying here, what God is saying here, what the scripture is saying is, listen, what the law does is this. It makes it plain. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. That's what the law does. All the law does is point out the fact that I'm messed up. That I'm not perfect. No matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I work at it, I'm not there. And see, that's what the purpose of the law is. The purpose of the law is to point out the truth. Now, I don't know who you are. Maybe your sins are more private or more public. I don't know. But I got news for you. We're all sinners. Every one of us. But see, we're good at this as Christians. We have big sins, right? And little sins. And we kind of rate things. Yeah. But I like what God's word here says. Look at this. A person who follows all of God's law but fails to obey even one command is guilty of breaking all commands in that law. I'm good most of the time. I thought of a good way to illustrate this. Now, I want to make sure you know this is an illustration. I'm married, all right? I made a vow. Maybe you made a vow when you got, anybody make vows when you got married? You know, I'm going to be faithful to you, to have and to hold, to love and to cherish, through riches and poor, through sickness and health. I'm committed to my wife, Laura. I made that vow to her, right? You know, something along that kind of line. Now, what would it be if I come back like this? Well, you know what? Now, make sure this is an illustration. Let's say I had an affair. All right? So, I wasn't faithful. But I've been there when she was sick. I've been there in riches and poorness. I'm 2 out of 3. Doesn't that count for something? Now, you ladies should be going, no. Yeah. That wouldn't matter, would it? If I broke one of those, I broke it all. Am I right? Yeah. Now, you need to know that, that's a rule. I mean, that's a vow I made. And I made that vow seriously. And you know, in order for me to keep that rule, that I'm not going to have an affair, some of you guys know it, and some have been in the church lineup, I've said there, you have to have some extra rules. I've got extra rules. And you guys know some of those. I don't get in the car with another woman. I never took teenagers home without my kids in the car. You know, I have extra rules to make sure I don't even get close to that boundary. I do not intend on having an affair. I'm doing everything I can. So I put more rules in. So when I break one of those rules, a light goes off. There was a time I was supposed to meet with some the school superintendent. It's a woman. I've shared with you. And I told her, I will not get in the car with her. I'll meet her at the various schools if we're going to meet. And I usually meet at the district office if we're going to have meetings. Well, she scheduled a meeting. I came down there, and another board member was coming. They were going to go out for lunch. So now it's two women and me. I'm not getting in the car. They knew that. So it's like, okay, this is not what I planned. This is not my intention. So I get in my car. What do you think I did? Pull out my phone. Not driving yet. Hadn't turned the car on yet. And I called Laura. Laura, this is what's going on. I'm going to go over to Applebee's and have lunch with da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're going to go over the agenda for the school board. Because my rule was way back here. Do you see that? We got to have these extra rules. And I tell you guys this. Rules are not bad. They're good. I'll share a story that was really a blessing to me. And it meant something because that you guys are getting it, that the church is getting some of the stuff I say. A few weeks ago, we went to camp. We had cleanup at the camp. Didn't we have a good time? Anybody go? We have a good time? We had a great time at camp. Well, we come home from camp, and one of the mothers is late to pick up her daughter. And it's like everybody's packing, everybody's getting ready to leave, and here I am with a young girl. I'm just sitting there going, what am I going to do, you know? And some of you guys know, I used to sit on the porch when somebody at the church wanted to counsel some of the young. I'd sit on the porch at the church on the education building because I wouldn't go in the building with them. So I'm sitting there trying to figure out what to do, you know, and it's like, And it was really interesting. Emily was there and her daughter and her daughter. And her sister and her sister and her brother. Emily was there with her sister and her brother. I was going to talk about I told Evie about this. And what I thought was amazing was this. Emily did not leave. Emily stayed in the driveway. Megan got in the front seat and played with her phone. Matthew kind of crawled in the back and just kind of played around. But Emily stayed there till that mother got there and picked up that young girl. And I told Emily how much I appreciated that. And I told Evie how much I appreciate that they're gaining what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with the rules. You know, I have these rules, but I appreciate, I told her that. Now I want to make sure I tell you again, I appreciate that. Because I have these rules. I want to be above reproach. You know, I'm not going to, but I have to have these rules. 2 out of 3 is not good enough for my wife, is it? We need to think about these rules. All the rules do is make it a fact you're a sinner. That's it. You are a sinner. Well, I don't want to just say you. We are. We are. I am. You know, we battle sin. We're different. We're unique. We battle sin. You guys still laughing at me over there? You doing okay, Mama? They're giving me a bad time. I'll hear about this after church, too. You know, you can't just break one and think, well, I'm okay. See, I want to make sure you understand. The law was given to make it a fact you're a sinner. Does that make sense? So now the next part of that, if you turn the page over, is this. Rules demand grace. The law says I'm a sinner, and what the law says is I need grace. I need grace. I cannot fix myself. I'm going to give you guys a hint. Don't waste your time on self-help books. Don't waste your money on self-help books. All right? I got the tool. Matter of fact, it's really not a tool. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, we go to there and look at all the self-help. You better go to Borders or all those. Look at all the self-help books that are out there. That doesn't help. Jesus is the one that helps. See, I don't know, but I kind of feel like Paul sometimes. You want to read a nice little passage that gets confusing? Romans chapter 7. I think it's chapter 7. Could be 8, but I think it's 7. Paul's sitting there saying, you know what? I want to do what's right. I try to do what's right. But every time I try to do what's right, I do what's wrong. I get confused in all the I's. It's a really fun passage to read. If you don't, you got to read it real slow because the I's get confusing. You know, I don't do what I want to do, but I do what I do not want to do. And when I don't want to do that, I end up doing that. He gets, oh, yeah, okay, Paul. Yeah. But what he's saying is, I really want to do what's right. I don't want to sin. I don't want to be there. That's not what my intention is. But for some reason, and the only one that can help you change that is God. It's called God's grace. That's what saved that woman. They brought that woman and threw that woman at Jesus' feet. Did she do anything? Did she do anything? She didn't ask for anything. She didn't say anything. She stood up and Jesus says, grace, grace, go and sin no more. See, that's the challenge for us. And that's what I want to hear. Jesus calls us to that challenge. No more trying to pretend. No more putting a mask on. Being ourselves and being real and saying, these are my battles and these are my burdens and this is where I'm at and I can't win. And it's grace that delivers us and it's that grace that empowers us. And that's the challenge for us and that's what God calls for us to do. And I look at this, and I look at people, and in my position as a pastor, I see people battling guilt and the burdens of guilt and what I did and where I'm at. And it's like, listen, God can change all that. God can make everything different. It's the grace that makes things different. It's the grace of God that makes things better and changes things. You know, back to that marriage kind of illustration. You know, I got married. I said those vows. Now, is that all that I have to live up to? Some of you guys married now. Did some of those, I don't want to call them rules, expectations. There's a good word. Did some of those expectations change? I'm married. I can do pretty good. Now, who's going to carry the garbage out? Some woman grew up in the house and dad always carried the garbage out. Somebody grew up in the house and mom always carried the garbage out and they're the garbage set. Who's going to carry the garbage out? Yeah. Always like Ann. Anybody remember Ann Landers? Does she still have a newspaper article? Yeah. I remember the argument over the toothpaste. Remember that one over the toothpaste? Somebody, he squeezed out of the middle, she squeezed out of the end. They fought over the toothpaste. She goes, just get two tubes of toothpaste. Duh. Yeah. We have these expectations. You're going to go to Kohl's and go shopping. Anybody? Come on now. You're going to go to Kohl's and go shopping. And then they go model the clothes. Do you like this one? Do you like that one? You tell them the one they like and they buy the other one. Anybody? Yeah. We have these expectations. How do we deal? It's like, why do I go to Kohl's and stand there in the women's clothing area? Because I look good? Yeah. Why do we do those things? Because they're the rules of marriage? Why do I do those things? It's a four-letter word. Starts with L, ends with E. Anybody got an idea? Love. Because I love my wife. You notice she's not in here right now. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Because I love my wife. I do those things. Not because I have to. Not because I should. But because I love my wife. See, and that's what I see God sitting here saying for us. Here's the rules. Here's what it's all about. But love. See, it's that grace. It's that grace that God has for us. Look at the scripture passage here. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. And I want us to see this relationship. It's grace that brings us. It's what God does in us and through us. And so in our lives, as we live for God, we need to go back to this and move away from rules and move into a relationship. As I was looking over the message and pondering the message, an image came to my mind. It's one of my prayers every Sunday, and the worship team and those that pray with us on Sunday hear me talk about that others can see Jesus in us. It's one of my prayers. And I go back, and Moses went up the hill. He got the Ten Commandments. Anybody? You can see Charlton Heston portray that if you want. But he goes up the hill, gets the Ten Commandments, comes down, you know, has a few little issues. But he ends up going up and down the hill. If you're not familiar, they kind of show a really quick blurb in the movie. But he went up and down a whole lot, all right? Just so you know, it wasn't just one track. It continued happening. He had to go up and get the next set of ten because he threw the ones down, you know? So he went up and down several times. And after going up and down fairly recent many times, he came back one of those times and his face shone. It just kind of glowed in his face. And Aaron and them said, you know, it's really hard to look at him, and it's really hard. And so he began to wear a shroud over his face to cover his face. And I started thinking, that's what it's about. Being with God is not coming down with the Ten Commandments. He brought those down. His face didn't show. It was repeated of times that he went up and down to meet God. Those times when he had encountered God, those times when he had built a relationship with God, that there was something about him that shone. It wasn't the Ten Commandments. It was that relationship that shone. And that's what I want us to drive at this morning. That God's desire is a relationship, not rules and rituals and commands. It's a relationship. And in the midst of that relationship, because we love him, guess what? We live out those rules. Does that all make sense? So I put it this way. If you look at your outline, rules call us to follow. Our series have been, are you a fan or a follower? See, a fan judges everything by the rules. Keep the rules. Do the rules. Rah, rah, rah. Look how good I am. Yeah. And a fan talks about the rules and everybody living up to the rules and measuring up to these rules and these standards. But a follower is someone who has a relationship with God. Who walks with God and has been with God. I started thinking about this because the studies and statistics say that many of the kids that grew up in church leave the church when they go off to college, when they become adults, leave the church. And what I was wondering is this, and what I was looking at the statistics as I was working on the message, was, is the problem that they started judging Christianity by the rules? And now they got their freedom? And so they don't care about the rules anymore. And if they don't care about the rules, they don't care about Jesus. But if we have a relationship with God, and we talk relationship with God, a loving relationship with God, and we show them that's a relationship and not the rules, and that we do it because we love him, that says something different. That's, I think, I want to be a challenge. Why do we get so sidetracked so often? Just so you know, this is not something new. Paul had, paint a picture. Paul had went around starting churches. All right? Paul had gone around. He went to an area called Galatia, kind of on the north end of the Mediterranean Sea, and he starts these churches. And as he's starting these churches, and the people started coming in because they weren't keeping the Jewish laws, you know, the 613 things. and they weren't quite doing all those, and so they're trying to straighten out. And so Paul had to go back up there and talk with them. Look at what he wrote to them. I thought this really says it all. I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not there is another gospel. He's saying it doesn't even exist. But there are some, but there are some who are troubling you and want to change the good news about the Messiah. He's sitting there writing them, some people are telling you guys up in Galatia that you need to go keep the rules. And I'm telling you, it's a relationship through grace in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And that's what Paul is sitting there saying. And Paul's driving that home. And so this morning, I want to ask you, and I want to dwell on this. Are you a fan or a follower? Are you about keeping the rules? Or are you about a relationship? Is it all about how do I measure up? How do I fit in? How does it piece together? Or is it about a relationship with God? If you're raising your children, I want to encourage you, raise your children in a relationship, not the rules. Teach them to love God. Teach them how you love God. So that when they get old enough to say, I don't care about the rules, they'll be in love with God that they do care. Does that make sense? See, I think we've kind of twisted it. Have we become like the Pharisees? See, I like this part. I learned, you need to know something. When I prepare these messages, I learn a whole lot, all right? I don't think I know this. When I was writing this message, I never thought about it, but as I was writing, finally figuring it all out, that little phrase that Jesus told those Pharisees, I never really thought much about. I always thought about them running off, all right, like they should have, all right? But he said, you who have not sinned, cast the first stone. What he said was this, examine yourself. Is that what he said? I never thought about it in that term. He said, you got all these rules, you got all these regulations, you got all these commands, you got all this stuff figured out. Why don't you stop and check who you are before you start throwing stones at somebody else? I like that. I didn't quite think about that in those terms. See, it's about a relationship and not these rules. Church is a lot different than when I first started going to church. I could never imagine when I first started preaching not being in a suit. I just couldn't imagine. I'm glad I'm not right now. I don't know about you, but I'm hot up here. It's hot. I'm glad I put deodorant on. It's warm. But we had rules, I told you some rules. I was going to tell you this one. I remember when I had only, I'd only been a Christian a couple of months. And I wasn't a bad kid. You need to know that. I wasn't using drugs. I wasn't doing anything like that. I rode a motorcycle, kind of crazy, kind of aggravating. But I had a T-shirt on that had a saying on the back. I didn't think anything about it. I'm not going to tell you the saying. Well, maybe I will. I don't know. We'll just see how it goes. But I had a saying on the back of this red T-shirt. And I worked at church on a Sunday night. Didn't even think about it. It's just a T-shirt. I like it. I ride my motorcycle to church. I did. I rode my motorcycle to church. Blew the stop sign. Got pulled over by the cops one time. That's what I did. Well, I wore this shirt, and then somebody pointed out about the back, and I never thought about it, and pointed it out. I was dating Laura, to Laura's mom. Maybe I should tell you. The back of the shirt said this. There's a guy riding a motorcycle, jumping over a cliff, and it said, put something exciting between your legs. I didn't even think about it. It was my motorcycle shirt. It's what I rode when I rode my motorcycle. But somebody in the church caught me and pointed it out. Now, I'm going to tell you what was nice is, they didn't judge me. They didn't put me down. They just said, did you see what your shirt said? And I go, no, I never paid attention to it. I just always wore the shirt when I ride my bike. Oh, I never wore it again. But it made me think. But at least they had grace enough to point it out in a loving way. So there is, we got to do those things, but it's about a relationship. So here's what I want to say this morning. Are you a fan or a follower? Has it been about the rules for you? Maybe you were raised, maybe some Christian beat you up with the rules. Maybe as you were growing up, some Christian just kept beating you over the head with the rules. Christians don't do that. Christians shouldn't do that. Christians, and they couldn't live up to it either. You look at their life, you're going, you ain't living it either. What do you mean talking to me? Maybe you experienced that. I want to tell you, it's not about those rules. It's about a relationship. Maybe you're in a church that beats you up with rules and regulations, and you dress and you walk and you talk and you do this and you don't do that. And I want to tell you, it's not about the rules. It's about a relationship. Because I want to tell you this. If you fall in love with God, all that will take care of itself. You know, when you walk with God and you love God, all that takes care of it. I just don't want to do that. I just don't want to do those things. You know, not because Gary's strong or smart. No, I love my wife, I love God, and I'm going to have a good life. I got problems, and I am a problem. Yeah. But I just want to be a relationship with God. Do you have that this morning? Are you a fan or a follower? Put it at the bottom, but I had this passage right here. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, why don't you circle that, love me? That's it, just love me. That's all God says. Love me. I kind of started out, God gave one command. Remember? God gave one at the garden. Just one. They couldn't do the one. We ended up with 10 through Moses. Jewish leaders made up 613. State of California, just so you know, passes about 3,000 new laws a year. Don't worry. You're going to get some new ones next year. About average about 3,000 a year in the state of California. Yeah. But I loved it. Jesus come along and said, listen, let's just boil it down. Love God. Love one another. Relationship. That's it. I want to invite you to a relationship with God. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what's happened. I want to invite you to a relationship. Follow him. Not just a fan, but a follower. It's not about those rules. Fall in love with a gracious God who loves you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you are a gracious God, a God of mercy, and abounding in love. You know, our eyes are closed and our heads bowed. Maybe you're battling some rules. Maybe you've broke some rules and you're battling some things in your life. You want me to pray for you? You want to experience some grace. Maybe you need some grace this morning. Would you just shoot your hand up? I want to pray for you. If you just need to, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the lifted up hands. And when they lift their hands up, they lifted their hearts. Lord, we thank you for your grace. They need to experience that grace anew and afresh. Some know you. Some need to know you. Some renew to you, Lord. I just ask you to encourage them and strengthen them. Let them know your love. Let the spirit that dwells within you just overfill with the grace and mercy of God and the love of God. Let them experience a fresh start and a newness, Lord. That it's not about the rules. It's not about the regulations. It's not about the guilt that they cause or the burdens or the battles that they bring. But it's about the mercy and grace of God. The rules point out we're sinners, but the grace gives us freedom from that sin. Give them that freedom, a freedom of heart, a freedom of mind, a freedom of peace. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.